I remember on one occasion, my washing machine in my house broke down. And I said to myself, I said, man, you know, I said, my kids, man, they don't appreciate me. You know, they don't say, thank you, Dad, for giving me a ride. They don't say, thank you, Dad, for all that you do. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to let them see how important that I am. I'm not going to get it fixed, right? And so a couple days went by, and my clothes started piling up, right? And I had to go to the laundromat and wash my clothes, and I heard the Lord speak to me out of the dryer. And he said, man, you sure taught them a lesson, didn't you?
Greetings, radio friends. Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'd like to thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of He Must Increase, But I Must Decrease.
To the glory of God. That whenever we serve, we give the very best that we can, and that we don't hold back, and that we don't reserve, but we, as the football players are told, you got to leave it all on the field. That when you go, leave it all on the field. You know, when my kids were little, we had the opportunity to be in New York. I happened to be preaching up there one weekend, and this was the same weekend that they gave the Statue of Liberty a facelift. And there were people came from all over, and we had a chance to go. You know, we didn't get up close and personal, but we did get a chance to see it. And I remember getting some literature, and I was reading the literature, how that when the French gave the Statue of Liberty to America, that inside the crown of the statue, that there was all kind of design, and there was all kind of artisan, that they took the greatest care to design the crown and what went into the crown. Now, what is the thing that's so special about that? The average person standing on the ground will never see what's down in that statue. But yet and still, they gave their best. And God calls us that when we serve as friends of the bridegroom, that we give our best, no matter who sees us, no matter if anybody sees us, that we give the very best that we can. If when you give the best of your service, telling men the Savior has come, be not dismayed if they will not hear you, for he'll understand and say, well done. He'll understand and say, well done. Do you give your best in service? Or do you give God your leftovers? Do you give God the scraps from the table? John the Baptist, he knew his role, and he did the best that he could at his role. And you know what? There might, you know, John the Baptist really didn't get a whole lot of thank yous. What did he get? He got dead, right? Got his head chopped off. And so sometimes when you serve the Lord, you might not get the thank yous that you're looking for, but you got to still continue to serve the Lord. I remember on one occasion, my washing machine in my house broke down. And I said to myself, I said, man, you know, I said, my kids, man, they don't appreciate me. You know, they don't say, thank you, Dad, for giving me a ride. They don't say, thank you, Dad, for all that you do. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to let them see how important that I am. I'm not going to get it fixed, right? And so a couple days went by, and my clothes started piling up, right? And I had to go to the laundromat and wash my clothes. And I heard the Lord speak to me out of the dryer. And he said, man, you sure taught them a lesson, didn't you? See, you got to keep on serving. You, if you get no encouragement at all, you got to keep on serving the Lord. The friend of the bridegroom, he did his job. And when the friend of the bridegroom did his job, and I love this right here. I love this next point. Look what it says here. The next point. John rejoiced in the opportunity to serve Christ. He rejoiced in the opportunity to serve Christ. Look at the notes. It says here, John, let me go back and read the verse, and then let's look at the notes. Verse 29, it says, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." In the notes, it says, John uses the phrase, "rejoiceth greatly." The Greek literally says, "with joy rejoices." It puts a double emphasis on his joy. The thing that brought up this double joy was what? Hearing the bridegroom's voice. This is deep. This is deep. Up until now, John was the voice crying in the wilderness. But now, the voice of the Messiah would be heard. And it would be stronger and louder. And notice that John says, "This my joy therefore is fulfilled." The idea here is to have full joy, or a joy that is complete in every way. John viewed his service as a friend of the bridegroom as one of great joy. Wow. Notice what he said twice in there, right? The first time he said great joy, which the Greek says rejoice with joy. And then John says, "My joy is fulfilled." Look. John had been serving, right? I mean, he had been serving Christ with all his heart. He was out in the wilderness, you know, eating locusts and wild honey, and people were coming to him, you know, for repentance. And John said that, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ye straight the way of the Lord." He was the voice. John was the voice. He was the one crying out. But notice what he says here. He said, "When the bridegroom came and I heard it." Oh, no. Say amen, brother. Ooh. That when the bridegroom came and I heard his voice, he said, "I got happy." He said, "I got happy." Why? Why did John get so happy? Because this is the one I've been telling y'all about. And here he is. I ain't jealous. I ain't hating. Man, this is the one that I've been telling y'all about. And when John heard the voice of Christ, he said, "It's time to step aside." He said, "It's time to step aside." John said, "I'm going to stay in my lane. I know what my lane is. And I was just a voice crying in the wilderness. But now the voice of the Messiah is here. And because of that, because I've been serving, boy, it brings me great joy. It brings me great joy. I'm rejoicing, saints." When you serve the Lord, and when you decrease and he increases, and you hear his voice, and especially that future day when we hear that voice, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." When we hear that voice, man, it's going to be great joy. There's going to be great rejoicing. Psalm 100 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." Serve him with gladness. You know, so often, you know, we look like bulldogs baptized in lemon juice. You know, we look like we got the face for the iodine bottle, right? The skull and crossbones. Man, there ought to be joy in our service to the Lord. Man, that I'm excited. And I believe that the reason that maybe some of us don't get excited, two things. Number one, maybe we don't love God like we should, right? I remember the story of Jacob and how that Jacob fell in love with Rachel. And he wanted to marry Rachel. And he served 7 years for Rachel. And the wedding night came. And come to find out that his father-in-law, Laban, pulled a fast one on him. And gave him Leah. And Jacob had to serve 7 more years for Rachel. But watch this. It said that when he served the 7 years for Rachel, that they only seemed like a few days because of the love that he had for Rachel. Wow. 7 years seemed like a few days. Why? Because of the love that he had for Rachel. Can you imagine him skipping out there and him singing, you know, and those 7 years went by just like that. Why? Because he loved this woman. And as he was out there singing, he sang, "I ain't got time to think about money or what it can buy. And I ain't got time to sit down and wonder what makes a bird fly. And I ain't got time to think about what makes the flowers grow. And I never gave it a second thought to where the rivers flow. I'm too busy thinking about my baby. And I ain't got time for nothing else." Man, if we are busy thinking about God, if we are busy serving God, if we are busy loving God, then there's no burden in our labor, in our service for Him. But we can do it with joy. Maybe some of us need to fall in love with God all over again. And that will renew our zeal. That will renew our energy in our service for Him. John the Baptist, he rejoiced in the opportunity to serve the one that he knew was going to be the Savior of his soul. Second reason, I think that we might not have this joy in our heart. And I kind of tremble a little bit as I say this because I don't want to run anybody away from ministry. But maybe some of us are not doing what God has told us to do. And therefore, we are frustrated in our service. Yeah, I told y'all the story about the man and the little boy that was walking down the street, and they had a donkey behind them. And as they were walking, they came to this village, and so somebody said, "Well, why don't you guys ride the donkey?" So the man got on the donkey, and they came to the next little town, and as they came to that town, somebody said, "Why are you riding the donkey and the boy's walking?" And so the man got off the donkey, he put the little boy on the donkey. They were riding to the next town, and somebody said, "Man, that's got to be the laziest boy in the world. How can he ride the donkey and you walk?" And so the man got on the donkey, they came to the next town, and somebody said, "We're going to report you for cruelty to animals. How can both of y'all ride the donkey?" And the story is told that the man was last seen walking down the street carrying the donkey. See, when we don't do what God tells us to do, we end up carrying burdens that He never intended for us to carry. That we carry these burdens, we got bad attitudes about it, we grumble and we complain, but if we love God and if we are doing what He tells us to do, that we can serve Him with joy in our heart. We can serve Him with rejoicing. John the Baptist, praise God for this brother. that he rejoiced in the opportunity to serve the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then my final point today is that John understood the key to a powerful life. John understood the key to a powerful life. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, and I must decrease. What does this mean? What does it mean for us to decrease and for him to increase? He must increase, but I must decrease. I'm trying to help somebody out this morning. Because you say, John the Baptist said that. But how do I flesh that out? You know, what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that my will must decrease and his will must increase. There are things that I don't want to do. There are places that I don't want to go. But if God is telling me I can't continue to tell him no, I can't continue, you know, that those words, no, Lord, should not be in the vocabulary of the child of God. If those two words are diametrically opposed to one, those two words can appear. They cannot appear together. It's either no or it's either Lord. It's one or the other. And a lot of times, it's our will that keeps us from yielding and calling him Lord. That, and I've heard people say this. I've said this. You know what? Let me give you this testimony. I was in Virginia, and my aunt passed away. And I came back in 89 for her funeral. And when I came back for her funeral, I hadn't been back to Pittsburgh in a long time. And I came back and saw my old neighborhood, abandoned houses, empty lots, steel mill was almost closed down. And it was just very, very depressing. And I remember getting on the plane, going back to Lynchburg, Virginia. And I remember on that plane, I told the Lord this, I'm never coming back to Pittsburgh again. No, Lord, take a pen and X out no. Lord, if he's going to increase, then our will must decrease. My character has to decrease, and people got to see more of Christ in me. They've got to see more of that reflection of that godly character. They got to see more of Jesus Christ in me and less of self. And this, you know, puts to rest that old saying that I heard when somebody got mad and they were getting ready to take care of the situation themselves. I'm going to put my religion on the shelf. No, no, no. Because what you're saying is that I'm not going to be, you're making a statement, I'm not going to be a reflection of Jesus Christ, that whatever situation that I'm in, I want to reflect the character of Christ. And no matter what goes on around me, that people would see Christ in me, and that day by day, William Glaze would decrease and Jesus Christ would increase. And I can't say that I'm there. You know, I struggle. I really struggle with allowing Christ to live out his life through me. But that's my goal. That's my will. That's my desire. Is that your desire this morning? Is that you might be more like Christ, that you might reflect more of the character of Jesus Christ. That's what it means when we decrease and he increases. And then my popularity must decrease and his popularity must increase. That the song says, if I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. If I gain any praise, let it go to the cross. And how can we make this happen? The key is Galatians 2:20. Memorize this verse, saints. Repeat this verse every day. When you get out of bed, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see the decrease and the increase? Oh, man. You see the decrease and the increase? It's right here. It's right here. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the key. That's the key right here, is that Christ might increase and we might decrease. If you go to that next slide. We've all heard of Isaac Newton. He was the famed discoverer of gravity when he saw the apple fall. But we might have never heard of a guy by the name of Edmund Halley, who was the one who actually encouraged Newton to go ahead with his discovery. He challenged Newton to think through his notions. He corrected some of Newton's mathematical errors and gave him the right figures to do his calculations. He encouraged Newton to write a book, Mathematical Principles of Natural Philosophy. He edited and supervised this publication, and even though Newton was a man of means, that he actually funded the project. Edmund Halley. Edmund Halley died unrecognized. After his death, it was found out that he discovered Halley's Comet, which comes around every 87 years. And nobody knew that until the man died. Somebody help me this morning. Somebody help me this morning. That he spent all of his time, all of his resources, all of his energy promoting Isaac Newton. Y'all don't hear me. Woo! And here the man had his own fame, had his own notoriety, and nobody really understood it until after he died, because he was so busy promoting Isaac Newton. John the Baptist, he said, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. What about you?
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Join us next time for the first half of Jesus and the Woman at the Well. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, He Must Increase, But I Must Decrease, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request He Must Increase, But I Must Decrease. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request He Must Increase, But I Must Decrease. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Visit our website where you can view or download more than 400 teachings from the Word of God. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, we would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.